Welcome to Highway Diary, episode 129, I think.
129.
Thomas Jones.
Eric Hollerback.
What's going on? What happened?
We just did some karates.
Some karates, multiple karates.
Multiple karates, all at once.
So you came over, I taught you some boxing.
Some Muay Thai.
A little throwing some kicks, throwing some spinning elbows.
So that spinning back fist?
Mm-hmm.
Felt like a UFC fighter.
What was your favorite thing that we practiced? You were hitting those back fists pretty hot.
I like that, the elbow combo. It was like over and then up and then you spin back.
Yeah, yeah.
That was hot. I feel like I could pull that off in a street fight and, you know, somebody in the back would be like, super combo.
You would get the best, like, world star heckle. Ryu, super elbow combo, finish. But yeah, it's fucking, those are gnarly. When you throw elbows really fast in a row, it's like someone's getting cut up by knives, you know? Their face just goes, you know?
Oh, yeah. I watch, you know, UFC, and I see how deadly those elbows can be.
Yeah, man. There's a one highlight where Anderson Silva hit, like, a punch to up elbow, and yeah. The guy just, like, started twitching on that ground. It is kind of bittersweet, because, like, with fighting, it's like, wow, that was such a beautiful display of martial arts. But at the same time, someone's twitching on the ground with brain damage. And yeah. So that's probably not cool. But it's also kind of sweet. You know what I mean?
I mean, but at the same time, like, at least the UFC, like, they admit, like, look, this is what our sport is. You know, we do this to watch people get knocked out. You know, the people get choked out. The NFL is like, well, we care about our players, though. We care. We make sure that they don't go out on the field if they have, you know, head injuries. And then
UFC is like, we about head injuries.
It's like that's
we about we, that shit.
We're founded on head injuries.
Yeah, it is kind of, it's a bittersweet sport, but it is when you watch it then you feel more confident, like, oh, if I did this and this and this, maybe I could protect myself in a street fight. It is dangerous too, you know. Kevin Passman got robbed.
You didn't hear
about that?
Nah.
He got robbed. Some guy mugged him on the street with a gun.
Oh shit.
And then, you know, I was talking with Fadal about this, and he's like, if they hold the gun forward towards you, that means they're amateur. Because you could grab the gun, you're close enough to elbow them, you know what I mean? You could just put it off an elbow, and then they're knocked out without a gun anymore, you know what I mean? Yeah. But if they go like this, if they put their hand in front, gun in the back, that's a different story. Because they always have distance on you to fire a bullet off in your ass.
Damn.
You know what I mean?
Well thought of that.
But it's almost like I wonder if I would try something stupid because I can do a spinning back kick. Maybe that would get me killed. If some guy saw a spinning back kick coming with a gun, maybe I would get shot.
Would it
help you or hurt you in an actual street situation if you tried that fucking elbow combo? You know what I mean?
I don't know. In my head, I always feel that if it came down to it, like if I got into a fight at a bar, I know I could take 2 punches, 3 punches to the face max and like still get a hold of them because I'm a grappling guy.
Yeah, you were a wrestling champion. How far up did you go? What are your credentials in wrestling?
In high school, I placed 4th in state at the 220 weight class. And, you know, I just never went anywhere from there. But, you know, I just started doing judo and jiu-jitsu.
Were you offered any college scholarships for wrestling?
Unfortunately, no. I think it was my size and where I was. It's because if you look at college wrestling in comparison to high school wrestling, these are the new weight classes. There's 190, 220, and then heavyweight.
Mm.
In college, there's no, like, 220.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either, you're either going to go up to heavyweight, or you're either going to go down to 190.
190. Yeah.
And I was just in that position where, if I went up to heavyweight, then it wouldn't be good because I was just too short. I was too, you know, small. You look at the heavyweights wrestling, you know, for, who's wrestling for?
Like, then you're wrestling Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, basically, you'd be wrestling a Brock Lesnar. And, you know,
who's like 6'4", and like got muscles on his muscles.
Monsters.
Yeah.
And then just the...
And you know he's going to be doing dirty stuff. Like, he's going to be putting his thumb in his butt, in your butt, like, checking your oil. He's going to be headbutting you to the side, knocking you out.
He whispers sweet nothings into your ear.
Just, like, really creepy, like, hick farm boy shit. Like, I'm going to stick a corn cob in your ass. You're like, what? And whoa. Then he does. You know what I mean?
Whoa, God bless there.
You're in the heavyweight class. This is what happens. So then you thought 190 would be too hard of a weight cut? Or it would just have, you'd have to be training all summer and...
I guess, I don't know, part of me is like, yeah, dude, if I get to 190, I don't think I would have the capacity to wrestle like I do.
Right.
Because just moving up one weight class, you know, kind of switches up how you gotta wrestle. When you move from 190 to 220, that 220, you know, moveset is... like similar but almost completely different
mm-hmm.
from the 190 and the heavyweight
mm-hmm.
and I was just like, you know, I don't think that if I lost the weight, I don't think I'd be able to keep up with everybody because I just wasn't fast enough and I knew that.
You were also showing me some judo.
Yes.
Some hip tosses, Ronda Rousey style. I also used to love Carl Parisian versus Diego Sanchez. Yes. In the UFC. Good God, that judo was ridiculous. He flipped Diego Sanchez and himself just in a ridiculous throw, hip toss. They both landed on their heads. It's like, what is going on? How is that even helpful to you? You landed yourself on your own head, Carl Parisian.
But
it was fucking awesome.
I had to watch that, like, over and over. I was like, I swear to God, he did two flips.
Yeah, man. What was that? I was like, they were against the cage, and he just threw him, and then he did an equal amount of flipping as his opponent. Are you trying to hurt the guy or just do some weird shit?
Like, man, this is not gymnastics, dude.
Yeah, but if you look at Ronda Rousey versus she hip toss some chick and just punch her on the ground 16 seconds, fight
right, that's
over.
All her fights. That's all her fights.
Yeah, or she just gets him on the ground, armbar, perfect judo. You get anywhere near her, she's going to throw you around.
She's dangerous. I want to say, like, she's had the most matches in, not the most matches in the UFC, but she's also spent the less amount of time in the cage because she's just a finisher. She's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Ronda Rousey. I like Ronda Rousey. Like, she's awesome and she turns me on, but in like a fear way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's sexy because I'm afraid of her.
She's got big muscles and nice perky titties. It's perfect. Imagine the hand jobs. Listen, we're getting way off track. You also learned jiu-jitsu.
A little bit, yeah. A
little bit of that. Where'd you learn that stuff? Do you go to a Gracie gym?
No, I went to... What was it? Oh, a friend of mine, when I was going to Southeastern, you know, I would, you know, spar with him. And he just showed me, he's like, okay, this is how you would do this. And you know, it was really cool because at the time... This is like right out of high school, and I was just like, dude, I need a fix, you know? Mm-hmm. I need to be able to throw somebody around. And, you know, me and him would just go and we'll roll for a little bit, you know, work some shit out, which is really cool.
Yeah, so he was going, and then he would just come home and teach you what he learned that day?
He was, and it's not like, oh, he's like, dude, it's my first day of class, let me show you what I know. But, like, he's been doing it for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, he would be like, okay, I just need somebody to roll with.
So yeah, you just need a dummy at that point just to practice
and
the moves.
And I'd be like, okay, well, you teach me what you already know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know.
Mm-hmm. That fireman carry and that Russian, that dirty Russian you were showing me. That was pretty cool. I know. It's very, like, Muay Thai. It's very dancey. If you do it perfect, then it just comes right off and it looks great. But then I was like, wait, I push my hand here and here or here and here, and then I do it wrong five times.
Yeah, because it's just feeling blocky that first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just got to compartmentalize, you know, the steps. Because you're just like, okay, yeah, you jab and then you do it. I'm just like, okay, jab.
Yeah, because then you got to go, okay, now my hand goes here. Now I can throw the hook like this with my back. Okay, now I throw a knee, so I have to put my hands here. Then the elbow, I got to adjust. I land with that elbow when my foot hits the ground. Then I hit the spinning elbow.
Because it's like you never had to... And anything else that you do, when they teach you how to drive, you don't really think about where your arms are, or right, where your right, hands right. are, what your fingers are doing, or where your feet are.
Yeah.
And then, like, when you're like, okay, punch, punch, and it's like, okay, so while this is here, this got to be there, but this is also got to be over here.
Right, right. Or, like, swimming. It's like, no, let me just swim how I want fast. Well, actually, you have to do the fucking butterfly the whole time. You know what I mean? That's this thing. So you can't just do it how you want.
You can't.
So it's like, also with kicking, it's like, no, you can't do it how you want. Every single, they figured out where each one of your limbs should be exactly, and you have to do it like that. Why? So that you're fucking blocking yourself. Or you're putting your back into it, you're leaning into it as much as possible. They figured it out. You can adjust some things, but you got to have your hands up for sure.
Yeah.
So, and it's exhausting too to keep your hands up the whole time while you're also doing other stuff.
Yeah, because sometimes you just, I don't think I so much forgot as much as like whenever I'm throwing a kick, it's like, I'm going to fall over. So let me put this other hand out for balance.
Right, right, right. But also, yeah, just, what do I want to say? Oh, yeah, there was one of the worst fights in the UFC I've ever seen was Mark Hunt versus Ben Rothwell. It's literally in the third round. They're both standing 15 feet apart. They're both hunched over, and they have both their hands on their knees, and they're going, and it's like, guys, you got, they like fought, the first 30 seconds were pretty cool, and then you just see, I think that fight was at altitude, so that it was like thin air, but you could just tell, like, these guys are going slow as fuck right now.
Dude, let me tell you. I think that fight, it was just a basically, they both thought, all right, I'm going to knock them out in the first round.
Right.
Because they're both heavy hands.
Yeah. And they're both huge dudes.
Yes. I voted Mark Hunt for Secretary of Defense. Make it happen, America. Mark Hunt.
Just make sure he doesn't have to do any speeches. Hell of a fighter.
Hell of a fighter. Not much of a talker.
Not much. He's also big into Jesus, which I don't know.
To each his own.
Whatever. what do I want to say about Mark Hunt? But yeah, like he always has weight problems. Like you have to be 265. Yeah. And then like as soon as he finishes his fight, he like goes up to like 310. And then he gets a call, you want my fight in 6 weeks? Oh, shit. You know? And it's like, it happens every single time. It's like, maybe you could just try to stay around 270. So,
like, if you think that you're about to go, you know, get that belt, maybe you should cut down on the
just,
pizzas.
Like, stay a little bit stop
it with the bagel bites, man. Yeah. I know they're awesome, but you gotta stop.
But they were saying he had to cut 70 pounds when he fought, what's his name, Fabricio Verdum.
Yeah.
In like 6 weeks, 70 pounds. Yeah, he had to weigh in 265 like 2 months before. He gained 70 pounds in 2 months. What the fuck is going on with Mark Hunt's diet? He just starts chopping up a bison and lathering it in butter in the barbecue. And
it's like,
this
like,
is my eating month. And he just goes in a shack and just eat. It does not come out until the elk is gone. How is he gaining 70 fucking pounds?
I think Mark Hunt is living the life. And you know how, like, whenever we're walking down the street, you may, you know, pass by this restaurant and be like, that smells good. I have to go there one day.
Right, right, right.
He that smells good. I have to go there now.
Right.
And he'll come out and he'll go to the Subway and he's like, yeah, let me get a small sandwich.
Right, right.
I'm on a diet.
Yeah, and then he keeps going. He's like, I have to go in there.
He's like, I just, can all these places be one spot at once?
He just goes off. But then it's also, it takes a guy like that to be so crazy where he just throws those crazy heavyweight, those haymakers. It's like, you can't be thinking about anything else except, you know what I mean?
Like, he's got, like, I feel like when you're a heavyweight in the UFC, like, each punch you throw just has deadly intent. It's like, I'm going to kill this person.
He always does the walk away, too. Even if he doesn't quite knock the person out, he just starts to walk away. He's like, I landed it. I've seen him do, like, it's like almost in his combo, throw 1-2, walk away. It's like, the guy's still there, man. Keep fighting. But it's like, you know, you could tell he doesn't have much cardio, so he better be like, I'm walking away and either laying over here for 10 minutes or he's getting knocked out because I'm fucking exhausted. But I don't want to talk no shit on Mark Hunt, but I'm just saying, man.
Yeah, yeah. It would suck if Mark Hunt happened to listen to this and then found us.
I love Mark Hunt.
He's awesome. Vote for Secretary of Defense Mark Hunt.
So also, you performed You're starting to throw more ukulele into your act.
Yes, yes, I am.
You're peppering in the ukulele.
I'm peppering in some ukulele.
And you've been performing with your brother sometimes at the La Nuit.
Yes.
You're kind of sneaking him into it. How old is he? Yeah.
He just turned 20.
Mm-hmm.
Right now he lives in Chicago. He goes to Roosevelt. He has a musical theater. He's majoring in musical theater at Roosevelt University in Chicago. And he just got himself an apartment up there. And every time he comes down, we would hang out, and, you know, he would kind of write material. Not so much, he'll come in the garage with me while I'm writing, and then he'll write something, or he'll come up with something, or he'll come up with a silly little song. And then one day when he was down, he's like, hey, would it be cool if we did a set together? And I was like, yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of started working on shit, and we did our first two-man set together, a la Skalar Brothers, and it went well, and it was awesome. And then recently he came down and we did it again, and it was awesome. And I guess he kind of, you know, when he came down, he had wrote the song, and I was like, dude, that's fucking awesome. And he's like, we should start a YouTube page called The Flying Ukulele Brothers, where we'll just write songs like this and we'll put them up and we can have people listen to them. And I thought that was awesome, you know, because that's... when you listen to people like Molly Long and Jonathan Colton, and Jonathan Colton for sure, though, with his song a week, what he would do, he would literally just write a song a week. And they're just amazing. There's songs about evil sciences meshing up animals for a woman he loves just so she can understand how much he loves her. Or this guy who decides to become a future robot because his girl dumped him. And it's just these ridiculous songs that he wrote in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that blueprint inspired you and your brother to want to wait, we can do a song a week.
Not so much a song a week, but it kind of gave us that blueprint of, wow, people want to listen to these stupid little songs that we just write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're cool with, you know, they like this, they like ukulele, Molly Long. And we were just we've been writing songs. You know, maybe people want to hear our songs, and we put it out on YouTube, The Flying Ukulele Brothers. And
oh shit, yes!
Tonight, actually, I should be recording my new song for it, Mr. Manager.
Uh huh.
Eric, you heard that one.
Uh huh.
And what I'm hoping for, though, is in the future. Oh shit! My bad.
That's right.
In the future, I talked to Corey Mack, and I kind of want to get a collab with him on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be pretty cool for not only for me, but also for the page and the Corey Mack.
Fuck yeah. So, let's play some of that shit. I'm a tall blonde and a supermodel. Go to clubs where I pop bottles with Jay-Z. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Guys step up, but they don't faze me. And I thought you were cute. Gonna play it forward, gonna give you the scoop. I think I'm in love with you, and I really want to be your boo.
Yo, my name is Neve, and
this is MC Max.
I'm here to help you get the facts on this catfish.
Bitch.
Is she playing games? Is it for revenge?
Or for internet fame?
I can put your image on Google or search.
And then I'll put your address into Google Earth.
Step up in your house, now take a seat, bitch.
Call me Chris Hansen, it's to catch a catfish.
Oh! It's catfish. Bet you wish that you knew who you were talking to.
Well, I'm Veronica. I have one question, why? I'm just an average guy. Why torture with my brain and make me go half insane?
Because fuck you. Because that time in the third grade when you pulled my hair and you called me names, and that time in middle school when you pushed me into the pool.
But that was years ago. We were kids. You made me fall in love with you.
Well, I'm sorry. Because it's catfish. Bet you wish that you knew who you're talking to. Catfish, what a bitch, now what are you gonna do? It's a story of the internet. You never know what you're gonna get, cause it's catfish. And this is gonna suck, this is catfish. And this is gonna suck in the end. It really fucking sucks in the end.
We, one of my episodes, very recently, very controversial episode, Mohammed from Dubai. Now, you had been around, you met Mohammed several times.
Yes, I have.
How would you describe Mohammed? Was he the greatest party person in the world?
Mohammed is like that character you root for in like a teen party movie who's just like, let's go get fucked up. And you're just like, yeah, man, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Even when he fucks up, you're like, oh, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You just wanted to party.
You know what's kind of funny about Mohammed is he watched every single American Pie. I didn't know that there was seven. There's seven. So he pops in American Pie 7, and it's just like 90%, hey, look at these girls' tits at a frat party, and hey, we all got laid, yeah! You know? So it's kind of like, he got brainwashed by American culture, and then walked right in going, I'm going to do that now. And he started doing that shit.
That's awesome.
Getting French girls limos, etc., etc.
And weren't you talking about, like, his, like, friend, like, fed his lines a shark? Yeah. Like, that's ridiculous. That's a sentence I didn't know could be spoken. Those words should not be allowed together.
But imagine a lion with a belly full of shark meat. Watch out. Watch out, man. If anything, from Chinese medicine is real, those lions got hard fucking dicks, and they are ready to eat your face. Because that's what they give you. They're like, oh, you don't have power? We give you penis of lion. You need more power? We give you shock balls. That's Chinese medicine, basically.
Chinese.
And they're like, acupuncture bullshit. Shock cock. Those are what the shark cock doctors, they'll start talking shit on the acupuncture guys for more business. So I've been busting my ass, putting together the Sunday Roast Battle at the Lon Nui Show. And it's like, you know, I had Jamar Neighbors, he did it when he was in town. You know, he was in town doing the Key and Peele movie and shit.
Yeah.
And he did a spot, which was great. And then we had our best show ever. This past 16th, like, all the battles were on fire, the lineup was great, everybody killed
it was awesome.
But you know, we had a packed crowd. I get one comment on Groupon. You know what that is? It's unbearably hot in here. What? That's all you have to say after that murder show. It was too hot in here. Fuck, you know,
it hurts. Like, I feel like I did pretty wonderfully.
Yeah, you killed it with the ukulele throwing heat. And it's like everybody did great. Corey Mack started off the show. Scontrino versus Lane Leon was a great battle.
Which was a great idea to have Corey Mack just come out and kick these people in the face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I think, like, not saying that the show wouldn't have been good with like, if you didn't, you know, do Corey Mack. But, like, Corey Mack is just, like, he's just so high energy.
Yeah.
No matter what, you put Corey Mack up, and it's just, everybody's just ready now.
That started from one show I did where, you know, if I'm dealing with the door, I'm seeing how much money, I'm making sure everybody paid, I'm making sure I scanned everybody's Groupons, because during the first act, people are going to still trickle in. So I want to make sure I account for everybody. And I was doing all this stuff. People were coming in the door, blah, blah, blah. And then I did the first set to be the typical MC. Hey, I'm Eric Hollaback. What's up? This is my show. But I was fucking stressed out from dealing with all the door shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? And seeing how much money I had and making sure I could pay everybody, paying all the comics is the most important thing to me. So, you know, I was able to do that. So while I'm figuring that out, I need somebody to take 10 minutes, you know, because if I go up first, I'm going to suck. Because I'm not thinking comedy right now, you know? So then I started putting Jackie up, you know, first, and then the show went great. And then I put fucking John Rowe up the last time. And so it's always, I need somebody to take the heat from me. But, yeah, just to get the show cracking so I can go in the back and fucking stack it. But, yeah, that one comment pissed me off. It's like, if you see a mechanic with a Yelp page and it's one review and it's this fucking was it was unbearably hot in the waiting room, did he fix your fucking car? You know, that's what I want to know. But that could kill his whole business.
Yeah.
You see, you're scrolling through real fast. Yelp, one star. I'm not even fucking with this. This place has 5 star. Boom. Without reading that one star, someone complained about the waiting room. Was it a good service? Was it on time? Did he say what he was going to do? Does your car still work?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, we had a good show. Everyone loved it and that people were dying the whole time.
It was a great show. And, like, for the fact that they kind of glanced over that, it was a great show.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you don't like the show, put that in there so we know, okay, shit.
I laughed, but all it was unbearably hot. So I'm like, that can't happen anymore. So I made a deal with the theater. Hey, I'm getting this place at AC. Awesome. You know what I mean? So,
awesome.
Business. Handling my business. Because I just cannot let that happen where I get fucking bad reviews for some bullshit. It was fucking hot outside, though. We were doing martial arts just in the grass at the UNO campus, like a couple of super soldiers. I want my neighbors to be on notice. My neighbors drive by. They see me throwing sidekicks like a murderer. I want them to know, hey, you try to rob me, bitch. That's what you're going to get. You know what I mean?
You know, somebody passed by, it's like, oh, shit, dude. I stole his moped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
After that day I stole his moped, he's been training.
Man, that day sucked so bad. I fucking went to my sister's wedding. It was sitting there. I think people, before they steal something like that, they're going to check it out. They're going to drive by it a few times and be like, I want that. You know what I mean? So they drove by it a couple times. I wasn't there. It didn't move. They probably knew that. And then I get home. The next morning, it's gone. And I think I heard like a weird scraping outside the door type of thing. Like they moved it. And the what's it called? The kickstand went against the gravel. I think maybe. Or maybe I was sleeping. But it's like it was tied. But it wasn't tied to something. It was just tied to itself. And it was heavy. So I figured, you know what I mean? No, you gotta make sure that there's a bolt.
If it's not tied down, we will take it.
Yeah. And then they brought it back to the wood shop and fucking, man, that sucked. But yeah, that took me back. Cheers.
Cheers. To the scooter.
To the scooter. My fallen homie. And it's good to be in New Orleans because there's so many conventions. You know, I'm also fucking driving Uber and shit, so I see it all the time. Tales of the Cocktails. There were 50,000 people here, bartenders, just for that. There was also a cigar convention going on at the same time here. An anime convention, people dressing up in cosplay and fucking each other at the Hilton. That's what happened.
Yeah, MegaCon.
Then there was...
I was there, actually.
Oh, yeah? Did you get any cosplay pussy?
No, but I was looking hard. I was looking so hard.
What were you dressed like?
Oh, no, I don't dress up.
Oh. You just look for some cleavage?
Like, I just, you know, I just wear my Attack on Titan shirt. You know, I gotta say, I speak the language for a little bit. Oh, yeah, yeah, Natsu is the greatest character. You know, you gotta make sure they know that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, so what are y'all doing tonight?
Oh, okay.
Oh, y'all not from here? Let me take you out.
Right, right. You trying to pick up the out-of-towners. Oh, we're in New Orleans. Oh, I'm from Texas. Oh,
it's like,
boy, my pussy's hot in this humidity. Let's do it, you know? And then here's Thomas Jones popping up.
It's hard.
He's dropping all kinds of knowledge. He's into what I'm into. Let me give him some cosplay.
It's a little hard because, you know, I can't really tell if they're wet or just sweating because they're wearing furry pants.
Mm-hmm. If they're a big girl and you drop the right knowledge on them, it's both.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. This is fucking, you know, my dorm that you've been to loads of times.
Yes.
Type of thing. It's cool because... like, I was thinking about moving out or whatever, but it's so close to my classes. I can just, the morning of a class, I can just walk over, do my homework in the morning, boom. It's just so convenient.
Yeah.
But also, there's loads of different people coming through, and it's kind of interesting to have, like, two French roommates. I've had a roommate from the Czech Republic. I've had a roommate from Dubai. I've had a roommate from Yemen, you know? It's just kind of cool to hang out here and see who passes through, you know?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, it's always interesting to get to meet new people, you know, especially when they're from a different country,
mm-hmm.
which I don't get a lot of, you know. If I meet anybody from a different country, it's usually Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually because we're on a construction site.
But you were outside where Maurice was telling me, Moritz was saying, you know, hey man, you're ever in Germany, stay with me as long as you want, you know, even if it's 10 years from now. That's pretty cool, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Dude.
Just being in those situations where he comes to my house for a party, I go to his house for a party, and you just get cool with all kinds of people, you know? It's fun. So I think I'm just going to, you know what I mean?
So are you saying that we're going to go to Germany? Let's go to Germany. Podcast in Germany.
Podcast in Germany from Oktoberfest, man. I got the hookup, homie. But, also, it's kind of like, you know, I did college, I got my undergrad, and then, you know, for 5 or 6 years I've been out, and now I'm like, I'm soaking up this fucking college thing, you know what I mean? Why not just do it up? I know I'm going to be, I've been on the outside. I'm on the inside now, and it's fun. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to have a little piece of Muhammad in me going, hey guys, we're all going to get laid. I'm never going to lose
that.
We're all
going to get laid.
Let's get fucked up tonight and I'll get laid. It's kind of fun, man.
It's fun to live in that ambivalence.
Yeah, man. So it's cool to, you know, fucking live it, like knowing how special it is, you know? But it's fun. Especially now, I know what I'm doing. I know how to cook. Now I got a car, so it's a different ballgame. Whole new ballgame, man. Not having a car, man. And making it to the mics, I was doing it on the bus every single day, you know?
Which is terrifying.
Sucked, man.
Fuck the bus.
You gave me so many rides, I really appreciate it, so.
Oh, yeah, dude. Because I know what it's like, you know, to not have a car for the longest.
Yeah.
Like, when you've heard my joke where I talk about how my mom brought me to my first show. And it really was like that. It's like, hey, mom, I'm going to go do a comedy show in this bar over here. You want to bring me?
Yeah.
And she waits in the car, plays Candy Crush on her phone. And she's like, how'd it go? Not okay, mom. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I was a teenager.
My parents saw me bomb before at the Comedy Cellar and stuff. Like, in New York when I was 16, 17. It just sucked. I still feel like, why did I ever let that happen? But the thing is, they have bringer shows. So you're like, you have to bring four people. And it was just easy. All right, mom and dad, you're with me. Okay. Let me take my sister. Okay, cool. Now I need one. You know what I mean? Now I need one buddy. That's it. But also, you know, like, take your girlfriend, they see you bomb, it's like, ugh, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I like it here because there's really no bringer shows. So we can all just, if you have to worry about bringing five people, if people want to come, it's no problem. But if it's like, hey, y'all got to come, y'all got to pay $10, that kind of sucks when your friends are broke. It's more like a Ponzi scheme than a comedy show, you know?
I always hear about that, and I'm like, is that really? What if I'm new to town?
Yeah.
Like, I can't just, like, you. You gotta come with me. You gotta go to pay $10, and you gotta hear me probably fuck up on stage a lot.
Yeah. So here, there's a lot of stage time in New Orleans, and that's good. If you want to do it, there's opportunities for you.
Oh, yeah. It's just awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, do you feel like you've been turning it up recently? Like, as far as how many shows you've been doing? I feel like you're, like, more focused now than ever, right? I think you decided you want to do this, and you're, like, going after it.
Yes, I've made it very apparent that comedy is something that I really think about pursuing. Comedy is something that I really want to be good at so I can get to the next level. Before recently, I wasn't coming out to so many shows because I had just got a new job as a land surveyor. And, you know, you just got to get used to the schedule and what you do. You wake up at 7, out in the field till 3 to 5, and then you get back. And then I have time to go out to shows, but sometimes it's just like I'm just tired.
Yeah.
But now that I'm used to the schedule and what I'm going to have to do on the regular, even when we do have rough jobs, I can just be like, whatever. So right now, I'm really started, you know, going to every mic that I can. I actually went to the Wolf's Den. Howling Wolf's Den. I went to the Howling Wolf the other night. And I haven't gone to that show in, like, years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm really excited because I got so much material that I'm working on. Not only just, you know, stand-up comedy, but also my musical comedy.
I think doing a song is like a nice chorus to your whole set. It's like, you know, show you can open with 5 minutes of just jokes, throw a 3-minute song in, another 2 minutes of joke, throw it, you know what I mean? It gives like a nice rhythm. It gives the audience something to look forward to.
And you know, I was talking to Billy recently. Billy was thinking about doing a show where at Tarpon Joe's where I headline. And I'm like, I'm just going to break it down. Like, I'll do like, you know, a couple minutes here. And then I want you to like me when I get into this point. Then I'm going to do a song. And then I'll do a couple minutes from here, like me again. And then I'll do a song and then I'll close out.
Right. So you ask them to give you a rhythm with the light so you know, like, oh, I'm rambling too long. Okay, let me do this. Or, like, yeah. This bit's getting too long.
Because the difference between me and my little brother, my little brother, he'll do comedy too sometimes. Not as often, you know, honestly, not as often as I would, but he still goes out and he will go do shows. So I've already got this whole rhythm of, you know, how I introduce things. So when I do that song, Finally You're Mine, I talk about the Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it kind of leads into, you know, it's kind of my joke leading into the song. So I can kind of explain what the song is while I'm actually trying to get a few laughs out. But, like, he'll just be like, well, this is a song about Ba, and he'll go. So I enjoy, like, trying to mix my two elements together. It's like, if I can get you to laugh before the song, then I definitely know that you're going to like the song.
Mm-hmm. Because it might be, what are you doing? Oh. Your beard just squirted.
Life is just so hard.
Like a Japanese anime character.
Life is so difficult, man. Like, sometimes I just want a beard, and then that beard's like, fuck you.
Mohammed's had to clean milk juice off this table 100 times.
Oh my god.
I want to quote Mohammed right now. Milk juice make you smarter. Okay, that's all. All
right, Mohammed.
End of quote.
I believe you.
It is true. After he got with some Texas MILF, I feel like he just had a different swagger about him. You know what I mean? Everything was different. He grew like 5 chest hairs, you know? He went from 0 to 5, and he had a new knowledge all of a sudden. Damn. I was like, did you study? He's like, I didn't need to. MILF juice makes you smarter. God. He started acing his test.
God damn, you know it. I mean?
One fucking horny Texas MILF can turn it all around for the right Arab, you know?
If you are an Arab and you want to get shit going, go to Texas and fuck a MILF.
Yeah, it's an investment. Like, fuck a 401k. That's some bullshit. That's going to come and go, interest, up and down. Texas MILF juice, that lasts. You know what I mean?
That's forever.
It's residual squirts. Just imagine, like, her just, like, sitting over a water cooler, and he just, like, hits the button. He's like, look, 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 look. All right. He's just
ready for his day. Drinks out of the paper cup. Wife slip. Crush the cup.
Yeah, and then it's like, and then it runs out, and she's like, oh, I don't know. She's shrugging, and then he just grabs her boobs, and he, like, you know, touches her little beanie, and then he fills up the rest of his cup. He's like, hey. She just starts squirting down the fucking tubes. And then, like, the refrigerator and the cooler makes it nice and cold. I think we can franchise this.
We can do it. We can definitely do this shit. If a George Foreman grill could be, like, one of the most bought items on GEC.
Yeah. GMC. It's just about marketing.
We got this, dude.
I love how the George Foreman grill, they tried to make it look like something... like this new technology because it's slightly slanted.
It's slanted.
No, but you don't understand how important it is to be slightly slanted.
It's like, that's how the fat rolls down.
Yeah.
I like how George is like, it's my grill, George. You didn't invent this. There's no way you did this.
They were just like, hey, or do at you least... want $5 million to say these words in front of a camera and do like... And he said, how many times... I watched that infomercial and he goes, knock out the fat. You're gonna do it. Give a 1-2 to your big old gut. Knock out the fat. Just endless boxing puns over and over and over again. I found it fucking exhausting comedically to listen to.
The George Foreman grilling machine is very special. Everyone should have one. Number one, because this grill has something no other grill has. Slants. You put your food in and the grease rolls down. And because of the slanting of it, the fat rolls down. It's different. This machine knocks out the fat. It knocks out the fat. That's most important about this machine. It knocks out the fat.
I have an older brother, and we were talking about the George Foreman grill. And he said the reason George Foreman invented the George Foreman grill was when he sees everything, everything's already crooked for him. So he just tried to build his old grill, and that's how it came out. And they're like, that's a good idea, George. And he's like, what?
Knock out the fat.
Knock out the fat.
He's like just babbling in the corner. He's just writing. He's just drawing diagrams on pieces of like with crayons just to keep his fucking Alzheimer's off. And then they're like, this is perfect. He's like, knock out the fat.
And then we got to get George Jr. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
What's with that?
I don't know, man.
Yo, George, get out of here. And then, you know what I mean? Like, seven people come
like
up.
One leaves, and it's just like, no, not you, George. But even, you, George.
Well, even when this girl's like Georgianne or something like that.
Like Georgina.
This. Yeah.
Something ridiculous.
Dude, how big of an ego you gotta be. Like, that's, you know, give them their own identities, you know?
I know, man. That one hurts.
Let's pop out a Brandon every now and then.
Come on, let's get a Clarence
Marcus.
In this.
Marcus. You know, Sebastian. Whoa, that's interesting.
But what about a Malcolm? The time was great.
Switch it up. Whoa. George is counting. George is out of his wife's pussy. George. They're just marching out. It's fucking weird. I don't know.
I think that's like the only name he knows. That's the only name he can remember. And he's like, I will not forget my children's name, George.
Yeah. I remember he took some fight, and it was like him, like, later in his career, he was like 42. And then he fought some guy who was like 170. You know, he would just like, you know, because he was like 43, yeah. But he still needed paychecks. And then he was fighting guys that were just under his weight class and faster. And he's like, I'm going to get him with power. You know what I mean? And it's like, dude, this is weird looking now. It's like, at a certain point.
It's no longer boxing.
Yeah, but it's like, if you're a UFC fighter and you are about getting in there and beating some ass, it's like, fuck yeah. But if you're like, I have to do this for the money, it's weird. It's a different thing, you know? Yeah. Like, if they lose their passion, but they're like Ken Shamrock, you know? 51, still doing it just because he doesn't have a job, you know? Because he's like, he's in the UFC Hall of Fame. You know? Can't really run a gym, I guess. I don't know what his deal is.
Did you recently see his fight with Kimbo Slice?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It looked weird.
It did look weird, but I don't know. Somebody told me it's like it was definitely fake, but at the same time, if you were to see a match in the UFC where that something like that happened, everybody would have been like, "Well, anything's possible in the UFC."
Right.
And I'm like, can't, like, isn't it possible that a 51-year-old can't hold on to a massive man's neck and muscles while he's pulling off his arm?
Right, right. They're like, he would have finished that choke. That's why.
Yeah,
but also their grappling exchanges, like, they weren't throwing punches sometimes in some weird places. But Ken Shamrock got knocked the fuck out, you know. That's true.
I don't know why Ken Shamrock didn't throw punches. I know why Kimbo didn't throw punches, because he's strictly... When Kimbo grapples, that's why Kimbo, he's not a good UFC MMA fighter. Kimbo, he has two modes. He has grappling mode, and then he has fighting mode. He has, you know, striking mode, where they don't mix. He's either striking or he's grappling. He'll never grapple and strike at the same time.
Yeah.
But Ken Shamrock, I don't know why he wasn't throwing bows.
Yeah, in the clinch, throw some elbows, man. They're so effective.
Very effective.
And they're sneaky. They just throw them up. That's it. Do that when you're grappling to the side. It does make me crazy, though. And maybe it is so much easier to, like, be an armchair person. But when you start to know little things, it's like, why wouldn't you do that? But, I mean, who can know what it's like to be in a fucking lit-up cage with 50,000 people around you?
Yeah, it's like when you got all that adrenaline pumping. You never know what's where or what you're looking at until, like, you look later and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because we're at home, it's like, you can grab that other arm.
Yeah.
But to him, he's like, nah, there's only this arm.
Yeah. I also wonder, I don't know. With as much as I'm not sure. Like, my Muay Thai might be as good as other UFC guys, but they also know wrestling and jiu-jitsu, and I don't know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I would probably get the shit kicked out of me. Oh, like, yeah. They would just put me on my back unless I could keep it from a distance, but, I mean, I would have some. My cardio is not there, too. But fucking, I kind of want to do a fight. When I was in Los Angeles, I trained every day. I was like, I kind of want to do a fight to my trainer, John Atkinson. I was like, yo, homie, you think I'm ready? And was like, no. And I was like, oh, shit. Maybe I'm super not ready.
It's a quote for you to put it like that.
But I think he was trying to say, like, hey, you're not, like, going to be a fighter right now. So don't, like, if you were, like, I want to do this for the rest of my life, then I would do it. But because I want to do comedy, I think he was like, you know, even if I did win, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And then, like, if I got knocked out, it's like I'm hurting my brain when I kind of want it for, like, some comedy stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes sense, but I kind of want to do it one time, maybe. Because, like, I've sparred a lot, you know, but I've just not taken it to the level where I'm going, okay, I'm willing to get knocked out and knock this person out type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, either way, you say, hey, I got one amateur win under my belt.
And then undefeated, like, and then stop.
Yeah, that. Undefeated, and then I was like, "Ah, that's actually pretty cool." It's like, "Well, I got one amateur defeat." Yeah. Oh shit, you fought amateur?
Yeah, just like just one smoker. They call it smoker when it's just gym versus gym. Just hey, let's do this. But I would also have to, before I did it, I would have to get familiar with the gym for 1 month and be there every single day before the fight. That's just what would have to be. I think I would fight 155. That's what I want to do. But then, you know, but then you see some people at 155 that are just shredded, and you're like, oh, that's like, they cut down from 170 perfect. You know what I mean? Like, you never know who you're going to fight.
You said that. We had, we got this one guy that used to wrestle for us at 103, and he would cut down from 112. So by the time we got to 103, he just looked, and that would just be like, oh, shit. And I was like, nah, man, he's just, there's no water in his body right now. His skin is retracting. It's hugging to his muscles. He's not big. I promise.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like when you look dehydrated, you kind of cut up, but it's just because you've depleted your body of the minerals that they would have preferred to have around them. You know, that's the thing. It's like some fighters, they're like, oh, that guy's fat. But it's like Fedor Emelianenko, one of the best heavyweights of all time. If you look at him, it's like, oh, what's this chubby guy doing?
Look at him. He's all doughy. It's like, you touch that dough, it's steel.
Yeah, man. And also, he just throws fucking He looks like a grizzly bear when he's throwing punches, you know?
I tell everybody, I'm like, there's only, you know, two things in this world that I'm scared of. Bears and Fade Oil Emelian Ethan taking over the world because he can. He can armbar Christ if he wanted to.
He's gonna go back fighting. Imagine him versus Mark Hunt. Imagine him versus Crow Cop 2 in the UFC.
Ooh, dude, I love the fucking Crow Cop fights, dude.
Yeah, man. But dude, how sweet would that be? Crow Cop now versus Fedor? Why not? Let's do it.
Greatest grudge match of all time.
Fuck yeah. Because they fought in Pride in like 2006. Mm-hmm. And do it like 9 years later, 10 years later. That shit happens in 2016. How badass is that? It's fucking cool.
Fedor, challenge Crow Cop to a fight. And, you know, invite us there. We'll do a podcast.
They're just going to be, like, speaking, like, fucking Croatian and Russian around us and just giggling behind us. And we're going to be like, I think we're about to get raped. They could do anything they wanted to us right now. And it would just be like, I would almost brag about it later. Like, you know, Crow Cop fucked me. I watch Fedor fuck that was shown.
And it's like, Fedor put his thumb up my butt.
He was just checking your oil. He's a competitor. Even outside the ring, he's checking the oil. He's in the room.
It's like, yeah, we got raped.
Yo, man. That was ridiculous. We could do nothing. I'm such an MMA super fan. I don't even care.
Who called for us? We were like, dude, Fedor raped you? Yeah, man.
Yo, he was training for the UFC. He was all wound up. What are we going to do? He took my b-hole. I could do nothing. I kind of liked it.
He's like, came all of my face and I'm like, lucky.
In the MMA underground. Yo, Fedor came inside of me and now I can throw better punches. I don't know what happened.
I'm dangerous on my feet now.
Yeah, I think I got something from him. Yo, if he wins, that was my b-hole for sure.
He's like, my b-hole's made of magic.
Bragging on MMA Underground. Yo, anyone want to get this before they're fighting? you start doing like the Dolce thing. Like, my b-hole's 10 grand before we fight. It's magic. Look what happened to Fedor.
Prostitute ourselves to other fighters. It's like,
we're not even gay, we're just super fans.
It's like, look, you're not going to win unless you fuck me.
Well, yeah, you start getting the reputation like Stitch Duran. Like, I want Stitch to wrap my hands, and I want to fuck Hollaback. It's just luck. That's how I get my wins. I like to thank Jesus. I like to thank Muscle Farm, Reebok, and Hollaback's butthole. Without that combo, you know, you need the right nutrition, it's just gear, b-hole in your
small
corner.
Small little print on the hip. On the shorts, it's like, yeah, Hollaback b-hole.
It's like this squishy red logo that's like poofy, and he just starts puffing it. I got the worst b-hole ever. Like, I have hemorrhoids all the time. That's how I'm starting. You know what I mean? After getting fucked by Fedor, it would go downhill from there. Nothing. My b-hole stock would plummet. Yeah. Mark Hunt would feel nothing. You know what I mean? It would be loose down there is what I'm saying.
This podcast has truly gone full circle.
He would have his hands on his knees, huffing and puffing. 30 seconds. He would do the two pump walk away. Like, you didn't even come yet, Mark. Like, huh? Why are you walking away? Confident in my skills. And he's just in the corner.
Brave, you continue to fight me, the brothers of darkness, be turned to the brothers of the light. Illuminate thy path, the effect of your calling and foresight.
So I'm here with Thomas Jones and Kevin Passman. We're continuing on. We were just talking about self-defense. We were doing martial arts and we were going, hey, I wonder if I got mugged, you know, what would happen? Would I try to elbow the guy? You recently got mugged. Whoa. What exactly happened? You were a block away from your residence. Think you're home safe. Boom, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of my fault. I was out walking, so, in a supposedly safe neighborhood. But walking in the middle of the street, almost to my door, sober, actually. And just after midnight, an ambitious young man came toward me with a gun in his hand and requested my wallet and my cell phone. So I think, well, what the hell, I'll give it to him, you know. At first I was like, fuck this guy, he's not getting anything. He got a little too close to me, and I almost gave him a right hand. I was like, this is stupid. He backed up really quickly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he backed up, and I gave him the dollar in my wallet, and then he wanted the wallet. Gave me the outdated cell phone. And, like I said, at first I wasn't going to give it to him, but I thought about it. There's no telling how long that young man's been waiting behind that dumpster for the right opportunity, you know, and in this heat.
He's a working man.
Yeah, he risked dehydration and heat stroke, and and there's actually a construction site over there, so there could have been a board with a nail on it he could have stepped on, you know. I didn't want him to wait too much longer out there. You know, a man in his late 20s like that, you know, he was very ambitious, so. But yeah, he had me run around the corner, and that was the worst part of it, I think, because, like I said, I've been getting exercise, but it's been a long time since I've actually ran, and he's like, okay, I got your shit, now run, you know, it's like, oh, man, this is the worst part. Actually, the worst part, I was thinking as I was giving him my wallet, it's like, I got to go back to the DMV and get another copy of a license, which took 4 hours the first time, so.
Have you got it, that... situated yet?
Nah, I just carry my passport around.
Yeah, yeah.
Close enough.
This is me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the DMV is so brutal. And when I started being an Uber driver, they wanted two licenses, and the Louisiana Office of Motor Vehicles immediately took my old license. And then I kept telling Uber, I don't have it. I don't know. Call the fucking Louisiana thing. And then they're like, yeah, we shred everything. Thanks. Thanks for taking my document, shredding it, when I, you know... Then Uber asked for it a fucking week later.
Yeah, I wanted to go to the DMV, but, you know, I'm not working or anything right now, but I don't have a lot of time to go to the DMV. I don't have 3 days to go to the DMV. But anyway, yeah, I got... and then they brought me over to the... I actually Googled, you know, armed robberies in the Bywater. And I pulled up a mugshot of the guy that robbed me, and I said, here he is. Here's his name. Here's his face.
Well, that's lucky. I'm sure the NOPD was all over it. I'm sure you're protected by the Norland State Police, right?
No. they were like, they weren't too interested in that.
They weren't interested in the exact name and photograph of the man?
Right. I guess they thought it was bullshit. And, you know, there's cases of mistaken identities. But the guy had been arrested within a 3-block area of armed robbery. Same scenario. His face was very distinct, and but you know, they weren't interested in that. But I gave him such a specific and detailed description that later on the detective actually told me that they thought I was bullshitting them because it was so specific until they saw a video of the guy using my credit card, and it was spot on, right down to the fact that he was left-handed. He was wearing a football jersey, number 80. With Johnson on the back. I don't think it was the actual Johnson. I think it was Andre Johnson of the Texans. He was a much smaller and much whiter man than him. So,
That sucks. So did they take the photograph, or did they want to go through a computer algorithm to find out exactly?
Yeah, they had a caricature. Kind of outdated system, the way you know you go in and the software. You choose the forehead and the eyes, you know, individually, and you kind of piece it all together. And I was like, this guy is way too dark, though. How do we make this guy, like, two shades lighter than, like, printer paper, you know?
So they didn't have a white button at the NOPD?
They did, but they had a hard time finding it. They did not. It took them a good 15 minutes, which is a long time when you're sitting in a quiet office. And they had to call in assistants, like from the next office.
Yeah, I've never heard this before. How do I make this machine white?
Yeah, it's like maybe we could use the painting thing and make him lighter and lighter and lighter. And they kept trying to do that, and he looked like he had that.
Vitiligo.
What's the name of the disease? Yeah,
vitiligo.
Right, right.
You're turning white. You're turning albino.
Right.
Slowly.
Yeah. But they finally got it set on honky. I guess that was a setting. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bring back the word honky. Nobody uses it. It's been gone for a long
time. Yeah, sure. I'm with you, Kevin Passman. I would start calling white people honkies.
Thank you. Thank you, Thomas Jones.
Thank you for being for letting me be on this podcast. Yeah. Honky.
We deserved it. We're annoying in neighborhoods, honking, going, why isn't my food ready? I ordered delivery. Honk, honk. We're a bunch of assholes. Honky. You should throw it in her face. So, that's unfortunate. What's the recourse now? What do we do? Do we have to go to his house and beat him up and bring him to the NOPD all brought beat up? Or have they started to
launch an
investigation towards this man?
When does the bounty system come into play?
Yeah.
There's still information coming in. Within the last hour, I got some. This is pathetic. The guy's using like my an old H&R Block card that I had stuffed way back in my wallet that I didn't know anything was on. He's using it for like $3 a pop, and he'll use it for like $3, and then within a minute he'll use it for another $3, and then another $3.
Right.
So I keep going to these places and securing the video. Because the NOPD won't do that.
Right.
So I go over there and I tell the guy, save the video of this person using the card, and I will direct the NOPD to come by and pick it up later.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done that one time. I don't know about the other five locations that I've given them. They have a video for one. But it's still developing. And I think I'm 99% sure I know the guy's name. And...
Do you want to say his name and his address on this?
No, I'm not going to do that. Because there is a chance it could be the wrong guy, you know? Always. Okay. But,
you don't want to incriminate. Your investigation is still going.
Right.
Well, I wonder where the Passman investigation is compared to the NOPD's.
It's probably further.
Every bit of information that they have came from me, so actually I have more information than they do.
Like, sure. Right now, they're at
I didn't tell them everything.
They're at the station just, like, shooting darts at, like, sticky notes.
Yeah, and one of the it's just flicking his penis.
Like, a lot of the notes say blackmail, but...
It sounds like they get a lot done at the NOPD.
Where is the generic, profile pic, the generic deposit we have?
Yeah, and it keeps getting printed out.
That looks like him. Just put a hat on him. It'd be fine.
They keep printing out giving out the mugshot that they created. And then they're like, oh, this is a problem. Is the printer out of ink? Because this looks like I don't know how to find this guy.
Is he a tourist? What's going on here?
I'm confused. They know how to set it to white? What?
What?
I've never heard that before.
It was kind of funny, though. And they didn't appreciate my jokes, you know?
You were trying to do a type 5 minutes on the NOPD and they weren't interested?
Yeah.
They weren't having it.
No, yeah, about the setting for the white and everything. But, you know, it's like three black guys and me, and I was robbed by a white guy, so I figured it's my people. I can make all the jokes I want, you know?
Oh.
I think they laughed at a few, but they were like, oh, I don't know if I should be laughing at this.
We met a very interesting character in your family the other day. He hurt his member on a bandsaw.
Right, Rick.
Uncle Rick.
Yeah.
I'm going to be Uncle Rick soon because my sister is having a kid in October. I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty soon I get to be Uncle Rick. Ricky Hollaback, double guns. We were at your Uncle Rick's. He lives next to a cow patty. We were looking for hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Yeah. I remember that quite well. You and your red pants in the pasture with the bull. Fabulous.
There was a bull in the side just like shitting, projectile shitting. I'm looking all fashionable. Thomas Jones was giving me some good advice about mushroom picking. I think we're out of season for the cow patty. I think November, foggy... after it rains in November and it's colder,
okay.
This man has some knowledge.
If you could definitely go like night of a fog, like the thicker the fog, like the more shit you're going to find. Anything on woods is off limit.
See, we kept finding at the base of trees, and he's saying wood's no good.
Not in this area. That's what I've got a whole book that I've been studying on. Yeah, the cubensis is the only one like in this area with the little purple.
Yeah.
Band.
Yeah, it's like a little brown and purplish kind of ring at the bottom of the stem. And if you want, you know, if you pick the cap off, then it releases spores. You go back two nights later, it's.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. See, this is what I'm saying. And you kept saying like, hey, you know, I'm trying to like buy some. Oh, so I know someone. I'm trying to buy some. I think if we harvest our own and we learn what we're doing, we know what we're doing. Give a man mushrooms, he'll trip for a day. Teach a man how to take the cap off of a cow patty and come back the next morning, he'll trip all fucking semester. And sell mushrooms to UNO students. What I'm saying,
you're a very wise man.
This is a joke.
I'm just trying to quote the Bible right now.
Should I be taking notes? And...
Here's the business plan, ladies and gentlemen.
First marketing.
Okay. Cow patty. November. Rains. Fog. Cow patty. Next morning. Take the cap off. Oh, wait 24 hours. Come back. Scrape up that dookie, homie. Because you're going to get a pound of mushrooms.
Right? You'll get a shit ton.
I'm going to Istanbul in November. So.
What?
Turkey for Thanksgiving, you know? That's not a joke. That was a stupid joke, but at the same time, yeah. I'm supposed to go to Turkey in November, but perhaps.
Are you meeting some lady with a lot of maids, a lot of servants?
No.
Who are you meeting in Istanbul?
Whoever I run into on the street.
Oh,
so you're just going to go?
I'm getting deported, yes.
What?
No.
You're just going for a fun vacation in Istanbul?
Yeah. You know, if you get deported, actually the government will take care of all of the travel expenses. So every few years I get deported, you know.
So you're buying a one-way to Istanbul and then get deported and get a free ride back to the States?
Right.
That's beautiful.
That's awesome. I never thought about that.
Just get rowdy in a country. What are they going to do? Deport you? Hello, free plane ticket home. Oh, so I'll get in a bar fight and then I'll get a free ticket home? I scan the system. Boom, boom. Hey, that's my girlfriend. Boom, boom, boom. Free plane ticket, bitch.
Have you seen Midnight Express?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no. Yeah, the guy goes to prison in Turkey for a long time. So I don't know, man.
How you gonna get
in? I've done it in other countries. I've done it in Panama. I've done it in Latin countries. You know, they don't give a shit, really. They're just kind of like, oh, we don't want this guy here. But I don't know. I might not try that in Istanbul this time. Either.
If you keep your transactions under $3, the Istanbul PD won't give a fuck. They'll be like, oh, here's a surveillance of some guy taking $3 from me. They'll be like, oh, that's fucking great. I'm going to flick my dick in the corner for another 2 hours. And no PD.
They use dollars over there?
I think they use something weird like rubles or something.
Yeah, whatever. It's probably worth like 6 blowjobs over there.
In Vietnam, well, they use...
One ruble equals half a hot dog.
The money in Vietnam is called the dong, you know? It's like, how many dong? It's like, do you have any dong? It's like, my dong is my currency, damn it. It's the Look joke that dong. Ran with that, though. You would think it would get old, but it never does. Mm-hmm. Give me some dong, man. Give me some dong. I need some dong, please.
You're just going to smack it. You can buy a dong with your smack. Buy smack with your dong, man. I heard you. Smacking your dong all day. Hey man, you've been helping me out. I got multiple hustles going on. Multiple hustles. Sometimes you print out a business card with two hustles on it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you're an Uber driver, and also on the other, so you can people can use your promo code. You know what I mean? And then on the other side, what is going on now? Multiple hustles. You've been helping me out, handing out business cards to people with the show on them. Grassroots. Promotion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I gave you too many when I first got them. I got 20,000. You know what I mean? I was too ambitious by giving you like 50 boxes off the channel.
Yeah, it was quite a few.
You gave some back to me. But what's that been like? Street promotion. What do you think?
There was a gentleman that approached me from behind the dumpster the other night. I gave one to. It was in my wallet. I didn't. So if he, you know,
full circle.
He could be, yeah.
He'll come to the show and we'll be like, arrest that man.
He'll be on stage.
That's him.
But he's a good audience member. We need to fill the room. Keep arrest him after the show.
I was worried about the, you know, have, you know, you kind of brainstorm and you put jokes in your phone. And I had the stupidest shit and the controversial shit like that, stuff that I don't really do on stage. But I was thinking, oh my God, those jokes are out there now.
Mm-hmm. So. All your N-bombs.
Yeah, the N-bombs.
You just write that in your phone and don't say it out loud.
Yeah,
that to release
was,
your
so friendship. One bit was just like 40 N-bombs in a row. With no, no, see,
I knew this was a trap. Two bald bearded white men.
He figured us out. Lock the door. He's on to us.
The first part of the podcast was a deploy to get you to co-sign all of our racism.
See the fucking unicorn? He's got his head stuck in the door there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. man, I saw
that's great for a podcast, you know, pointing at something. You see that over there?
Yeah. Hey, watch me juggle. Wow.
Whoa.
I didn't know you could juggle.
It's a podcast. I got to break out the
table,
big,
Eric,
big
I don't
tricks.
Think you could juggle that.
Big tricks. I saw someone at the Hollywood Hotel. That's an open mic in Los Angeles. People know about. Someone put a horse head on, and he was drunk as fuck, and I've never seen anyone murder that room more than that. He was like, hee-haw, hee-haw, and then he did his jokes, and then he went, hee-haw, hee-haw, and it was so fucking funny. I can't explain it. Sometimes just the mood is right, and people are, the audience is the right amount of drunk, and if you just do something fucking stupid and ridiculous, it's hilarious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to predict. Like, you do the same jokes, and then sometimes it's like, sometimes they kill, sometimes they suck. You know, you've seen it 1,000 times. Sometimes you'll have a joke and play around with it, try to take it new places to see where it goes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've made them worse like that. Sometimes, oh, that worked pretty good. Let me adjust it a little more, and then it gets worse.
Yeah. But sometimes you want to, you know, you got to go in the fucking dark forest, you know, to see if you can pull out any... mushrooms. Don't eat the ones off the wood.
I think it's funny to say that because now that I've been starting to do more like comedy music, like A Bit That Killed Friday did okay. A Bit That Killed Monday did okay Thursday. And it's just like, ooh, I can't really tweet this because it's like, it's already written. It's already out there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you killed it Monday at Siberia. I had to follow you with that, man.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh my God, what do I do here?
Yeah, and also fucking Sunday Roast Battle with Lonnie Wee fucking murdered.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know, did you hear my comment after you got off?
Yeah.
I'm his direct supervisor. He did the fuck you, Mr. Manager song. I had to reach for something.
He was like, get them on my side.
I like that guy too, okay? Hey guys. Listen to my jokes now. But yeah, as long as you're like... I think it's a good look when the audience sees that we're all having fun together and we all like being around. I think like it... Because I remember the energy after Corey Mack got off the stage and we did that. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like I've hung out with Corey Mack so much. I think the audience knows that. I think the audience is like, hey man, oh, we're all cool together. Cool. We're all having fun. There's not, you know what I mean? They can tell.
Yeah. That's what it's all about, I mean, in the long run, you know, building relationships is, you know, I'm getting too soft now, I'm getting too, I've been watching Lifetime, damn it, so what?
What happened?
No,
what
kidding.
Happened? He was smacking her around and he was wearing a wife beater and she was like, I'm the victim, and women at home are like, you tell him, girl, yeah, and then they eat 4 bonbons. Is that how Lifetime works?
Hey, yes, Joe.
Tori Spelling and Meredith Baxter Burney. They always star in those movies, man.
Men will hit you because they're evil. It's like, damn it.
It's whenever he's drinking. That's how Bob was.
Let me just do a shout out real quick. If you go to go to Twitter at Who Mike Jones. My little brother, and he will live tweet premieres of Lifetime movies.
Oh. He gets into it.
It's the greatest thing ever. It's pretty amazing.
So he's like the one of... He's the only black man who's 20 years old who's watching Lifetime movies every single time they come out?
I think so. It's like... I want to say the last movie I was like the Choking Game.
About, the Choking
like,
Game.
Yeah, about like when kids are choking themselves. Oh, yeah. Just to pass up to get high. And then like, can't remember one of his tweets. It's like she choked herself and almost died. Clearly, this is the climax of the movie. And then, like, he puts like random shit throughout the whole thing. And it's just like, dude, what are you doing? But it's great. It's amazing. I look forward to it every time.
Now he's got you watching Lifetime movies.
For real.
But in reality, some housewife would use that information and then see her little 13-year-old son, like, passed out on the couch. And then she'd be like, oh my god, he's playing the choking game. But really, he just masturbated four times and passed out. And then she's like, oh, have you been choking? And he's like, what do you know?
Yeah. Why is it that every conversation I have always ends back up with Lifetime movies? I don't know. It always comes back to Lifetime movies.
That means, man, you got a good friends, you know what I mean? Yeah, great so, friends, your uncle Rick, he told us a story.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's actually the first time I'd heard his story, so...
What happened?
Yeah, he cut his junk years ago and with a skill saw, and I don't know, apparently he had the guard open or something. You were there with the story. That's the first time I'd actually heard the story, so... He'd cut it across his leg, cut the top as his wang is the technical term.
Yeah, it went like a bandsaw, just went across his leg, cut his leg up, cut his penis off.
He cut his Vietnamese currency.
Yeah, and then a little bit of the other leg, zap. And then he was like, I didn't even know something happened until my sock filled up with blood. And then I looked down and I went, oh, my leg's all cut up. And he just felt warm go down his leg. And then now he has, apparently they... A doctor put it on good, yeah, but he still has a hook dick.
Yeah, something with the blood vessels started to restrict in that area where it was. He had the surgery, and it started to curve because mm-hmm. of that on one side. It was just mm-hmm. shrinking kind of on one side, and it has a really sharp curve to it now.
Yeah, and plus he's masturbating with the curve. Always go with the grain when you're cutting wood, people, and go with the curve when you're masturbating, by the way. It helps for pain. But he's like, there's some doctor at the Tulane that apparently told me he can give me a corrective surgery. Straighten out my dick. But right now, I got a hook dick.
He's hilarious. So us retelling...
I should have fucking recorded that.
Us retelling the story does not do it justice because he's fucking hilarious. He's just a funny dude.
And, yeah, yeah.
And very, he's brutally honest, too. That's the thing. He tells all of his personal business like that, just straight out. So that's part of the humor there.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm sure in November, we might give Uncle Rick a little knock-a-roo on his door. You know, I got to give the audience something to anticipate.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
November, Uncle Rick, what happened to his dick? He'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. So, we'll have to get pictures.
High on mushrooms and fucking listen to his story. We told him what we were doing. He was like, that's fine.
You didn't see it on the SaudiDicks.com, did you?
Hashtag Saudi Dicks. Look it up, ladies and gentlemen, on Instagram. I'm not saying that everyone from Saudi Arabia's got a crooked dick, but I'm saying if you hashtag Saudi Dicks, you might see some crooked fucking dicks, ladies and gentlemen. That's a pro tip right there.
Pro tip.
All right, I think that's all we need. This has been episode 129, A Highway Fucking Diary in the Bag, with my main motherfuckers, Thomas Jones and Ken Passman.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. In cool. my house, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm not leaving. I'm sleeping here.
Okay.
August 8th, I'm going to do Twist of Lime and Metairie, and so is Thomas Jones. Thomas Jones is playing music.
Yes, my band, West End. We're going to be capping at the show at... Twist of Lime, Metal Handed Guy comedy show. It's going to be great. It's going to be Weston's first show back.
What day is that?
Saturday, August 8th.
Okay.
Also, Saturday, August 1st, a week before that, I'll be at Tarpon Joe's Billy Healy show. You should go that pass, man.
Yeah, I think I'm going to head over there.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so, I should definitely be there too.
Yeah, man. So we'll come out August 1st, Tarpon Joe's. That's where I'm going to motherfucking be. And then August 16th, like I said, another Sunday roast battle at the Lawn that we got three battles. It's Billy Healy versus John Cranfield. It's fucking Horatio Dell versus Jason Dormandy. And it's Kyle Smith
versus J. Alfred Potter. What? What? Triple threat. Lives are being shattered, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's controversial. Hey, do I want to watch mixed martial arts? Oh, someone gets knocked out. That sucks for them. Do I want to watch a blood sport of comedy where someone's all their dreams evaporate in front of their face? What if it only goes two rounds? Ooh, what does that say? Come. It's August 16th. These two motherfuckers are going to be performing on that show, too. Ken Fassman, Thomas Jones, maybe awesome. Open it up. Unless Jackie takes the spot. Jackie could take the spot from you, Thomas. We'll see what happens. But he's
I'm battling Jackie for the spot!
He's probably going to be out of town, that's what he said. Yeah. That's you again. You're my fucking... you're always in the bullpen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm always.
Oh, okay. You were out Thomas Jones. He's going to go in there and kill it. And he's been fucking playing every time. All right. That's another episode of Highway Motherfucking Diary. Later.